They asked me to speak about chapter 13 of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the kingdom of God. If we ask the Lord Jesus Christ, what is your message here in this world? What do you expect about his reply? Why he came to our world? It's just he wants everyone to be righteous and to have special behavior and to live in a gentle way and so on. I can't say that. In fact, Jesus Christ came to our world so that we may be united in him. And as he became a man, we also may become gods. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is one with the Father. He is an eternal one, but he loves man. He came specially for every one of us, and he opened his heart to everyone so that we may find special place in the heart of the Lord. And thus, by ascending to heaven, we find special place in the bosom of the Father. Therefore, the message of the Heavenly One is not just to teach us about heaven, but he came so that we may taste the heavenly life. Christianity, in fact, is the experience of the heavenly life. I remember once I visited a person who was sick in the hospital of the University of Alexandria. And he said to me that his neighbor is a friend of Pope Cyrillus VI. Then I said to him, how is it? You are young and His Holiness has been died from a long time and you are a Muslim and this is the Pope. How there is a kind of friendship with Pope Cyrillus? He says, oh, I love Pope Cyrillus and all my friends. We were very young, we were children, while Pope Cyrillus was Father Mina, the monk at Old Cairo. And he used to say to me, he said to me, we used to gather together all together and speak and go and enjoy Father Mina. Then he asked me, do you know what my parents used to say about him? I said, what? He said, oh, they used to say to me, this man is not from this world. This is the impression of the Muslim families concerning Pope Cyrillus. This man is not from this world. And this is Christianity. Christianity is not just to be a gentle person and to help others and so on. In fact, Christianity is to reveal that you are not from this world and you are ambassador of the Heavenly One, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are agency of heaven itself. Saint John Chrysostom, in fact, was a man of suffering. And he spoke a lot about suffering. And he said that suffering is the school of philosophy. But we ask him, how you truly lived or how you accepted all these troubles and temptations? The emperor was against him, the empress was against him, many bishops became against him, and monks also. how he lived in this atmosphere of suffering and temptations and troubles. His answer, one thing, the church is an icon of heaven. Nothing can prevent him from enjoying the heavenly life. And in the heavenly life, there is joy and there is no grief or murmuring. Therefore, the source of the joy and peace of Saint John Chrysostom, in fact, his experience of the church as an icon of heaven. Now, when we are looking to chapter 13 from the Gospel according to Saint Matthew, we can discover the heavenly life, the kingdom of God. In this chapter, there are 8 parables. The first one concerning a sower or a farmer, from verse 1 to 23. The second, the distinguish between the wheat and the wheat and the weeds. The third, in verse 31 and 32, the mustard. I'll try afterward to speak more in more details. And the first one, the living, and so on. I want just to give an account about all these parables of the kingdom of God. I like the fifth one in verse 44. Verse 44, chapter 13, Saint Matthew. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all what he has and buys this field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ is to attract our sight from outside to inside. In the Gospel according to Saint Luke, he said to his disciples, "The kingdom of God is within you." The problem, we are looking to the kingdom of God outside ourselves. The Lord wants us to discover the kingdom which within us. Saint Paul used to speak about his body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not only his body, but also the bodies of all the believers. In fact, they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to penetrate inside our inner man and to discover that the Lord Jesus Christ is abiding in us. It is the pleasure of the Father that he came with the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Trinity dwell within us. Do you have the same experience? Perhaps you say, "Oh, I am living here in this world. I am very busy, I have many responsibilities, I want to be practical. How can I leave all these things and concentrate only on my inner heart?" If we are concentrating on our inner man, we will discover the kingdom of God within us. We discover that the source of peace, the source of joy, is not from outside. We will never beg any person, I am in need of your emotion. I am in need of your love. I am in need of your advice. I am in need of your money. I am in need of your situation or position in any work. I feel that I am satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ who is within me. And through this view, surely I will become very successful in this world and in the world to come. The person who discovers the Holy Trinity working within him, this person never feel or never suffer or the feeling of isolation or the feeling of inferiority. And he or she never feel they are in need of anything or anybody, but they are satisfied by God who is working within them. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, in his words here, wants to attract us from outside to discover heaven within us. Saint Augustine lived for a long time and he was seeking for God. He was a philosopher. He studied many philosophies. He was in contact with many of the philosophers. He used to go or to contemplate in nature, to read many books. And at last he said these words, I was seeking for you outside me, and you are within me. In my foolishness, I was looking outside while you are in my depth. And then when he looked towards his inner man, he discovered the Lord who is dwelling within him. Therefore, when he gave a commentary on the Lord's Prayer, when we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, he says, don't say, Our Father who art in heaven, and you lift up your eyes towards the sky. When you say, Our Father who art in heaven, penetrate your sight within yourself, because this heaven is not far away from you, it is within you. I think this is the core of the kingdom of God. It is a treasure hidden in a field. It is hidden in my heart, and which a man found and hid. When I discover the treasury of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I will be overjoyed. I feel I am the happiest person all over the world. I feel I am not in need of anything. Then I will sell all what I have and I will buy this field, my inner man, because within it the Lord is dwelling. In his first speech concerning the kingdom of God, he said, verse 3, Behold, a sower went out to sow. It is a farmer taking care of agriculture. He wants to sow or to plant. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and so on. And this speech, the Lord Jesus Christ want to reveal himself. He is our farmer. At the same time, he is the seed. He is working in our soil, in our inner man. He is the farmer. At the same time, he sowed or he plants his word himself within us. He wanted to create his own garden within us. In the book of Song of Songs, the soul or the church asks the Lord that he may come and eat. She said, "Oh, may my beloved one come and eat and drink. What is within you? Within me, his own garden. It is not mine. It is a divine garden. Don't say I have a promise that, or I promise someone to do so and so. I promise my father in confession to do so. Or I promise my parents. Or even I promise myself I will do so or I will not do so. It is not at your hand. Because in fact, you have to be changed from a man into an angel. Your heart must be changed from the corruptible into incorruptible corruptible heart. From corruption to incorruption. From earthly thing into a heavenly thing. It is not your work. It is not at your hand. You can't do that by your own self. It is the work of the divine farmer. And it is the divine seed. Sometimes two persons come or start their spiritual life together. And they are on the same level. After a period of time, one of them, you see him in a great progress, and he become or she becomes a very spiritual person, and the other in the same level, perhaps he or she becomes down. What is the difference between the two? One put his trust in God, and he or she believes that God is working within him or her. And they accept the word of God as the divine seed, that truly through these seeds the garden will be established. Do you have a garden within your heart? Do you ask the Lord Jesus Christ, come and eat and drink? And according to the book, the Song of Songs, the Lord himself says to the heavenly host, oh my friends, come and eat and drink. Therefore the kingdom of God in fact is a garden. I remember once a person came to me in Melbourne, Australia, and said to me, oh, I have a very nice meal. I said, what? He said, oh, I went to the forest and he could brought a kind of animals, I don't remember what is it, and he ate it. Because it is the fruit of his effort, he feels it is very sweet. When there is a tree, and for the first time, this tree brings forth a fruit, you feel that you are proud of this fruit. You have too much money, you can buy from any market. But there is a difference between I buy a fruit from outside and I feel this fruit is mine. The Lord Jesus Christ is looking to you as his own garden and as his own tree. The psalmist says that he was like a tree in the court of the temple of God. Do you have the same feeling? Sometimes we belittle ourselves. We say, oh, we are just coming to the church just to read in the Bible, just to fast, to fulfill some worshiping, and so on. Then you may ask, then what is Christianity? Christianity means to be a garden of God, to feel you are special in the eyes of God, to feel that your heart, in fact, is a special place for the heavenly host, and not only you, but even God himself is proud of your garden. I don't say your, but his own garden within you. You can't imagine how God is looking to you. According to Saint Gregory of Nyssa, the human being, every person, personally or individually, is the dearest creature in the mind of God. When he looks to you, he said, oh, as if there is no one or nothing in this world or in the world to come except you. This is Christianity. Saint Augustine, in his close relationship with God, he said to him, I can't imagine that you can love any other creature like me. I feel as if in the whole world none exists except you and me. This is through the personal contact between God and you. Therefore, in the first speech we have to remember, I am not just a human being among billions of the people or men or mankind all over the world. I am special in the mind of God. God is interested in me personally. It is his pleasure to prepare a special place for me on the Lord's Day. He is involved in me. Sometimes we are complaining. None is involved in us. Sometimes even I remember one of the kids, about 10 years old, said to me, I have a problem. I said, what? He said, oh, Dad and Mom didn't share me my feelings. He speaks frankly and openly. This is his feeling. That none, even his parents, couldn't share him his feeling. David, the king and the ruler and the prophet, said the same thing. He said, my father and my mother forsake me, but you embraced me. Then through the first speech, we have to discover we are not alone. We are not just a creation, and we are created by chance. My father married my mother, and thus I was brought forth. No. I am in the mind of God eternally. He knew me before I was created. He put a plan for me. He is waiting to grant me sharing his own glory on the last day. In the second speech, verse 24, another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares or weeds among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain has sprouted and produced a crop, then the weeds also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares or weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, just while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time and the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" What does it mean? Since we are here in this world, we cannot imagine that all who are in the church are righteous. In all times, from the beginning until the end of this world, we will find real members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we also will find false members, and the two are working together. Don't judge. It is not my job. I have no time and I have no right to judge others. I am involved in the kingdom of God. I don't waste my time in criticizing others. My time is very, very precious. Every moment of my life is very precious. When we discover the kingdom of God, we discover that time is very valuable. I remember the words of Saint John Chrysostom, who said, "If a person has a knife and in just he there is harm or his hand is injured by a knife, it happens just in perhaps 2 or 3 seconds. But to be cured, perhaps it will take many years. And perhaps it has its sign for good." Time is very important. In just some seconds, you perhaps fall in a sin, but you will struggle for a long time against these sins. Then there is an enemy, but we are not afraid of the enemy. We are not afraid of the devil. We are not afraid of sin. We are not afraid of the evil world. We are not afraid of all circumstances. We feel that we are the field of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sowed good seeds within us. Therefore, we never be afraid of anything. The real Christian challenges the world. I astonish sometimes when somebody comes and said, "Oh, I am very weak. I am a human being. I am an emotional person. The circumstances in my work is very bad. Our family circumstances are bad." Why you say that? If you discover yourself, you can't say these words. If you discover that you are a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will challenge all the circumstances, even Satan himself. For some fell in sin through the work of Satan. For others, they gain victory and crowns on behalf of the Satan. Someone looks to sin as it is very strong, and I am very weak. How can I struggle against sin? We have to be hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a good chance that there is a sin and I am struggling against it. When I am struggling against it, then in fact I attain victory. I attain the crown of heaven life. Therefore, I feel the Christian person, I know theologically is not correct, but I can say he or she is lucky, because he is proud of the grace of God. He is proud of his membership in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is proud of the Father who embraces him and who made a special plan for him. I hope that every one of us truly do not be involved in sin, or criticizing others, or judging any person inside the church or outside the church, but be joyful. Rejoice that you are called to attain the heavenly kingdom, which now is within you. And the third speech, verse 31. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Very, very beautiful and nice speech about the kingdom come. I looks like just the latest seed. Perhaps anybody doesn't care about me. I am the least. I am just like a seed which it is hard to see it. But through this seed, I will become a tree. And in this tree, many birds come and nest in my branches. And many men and animals will enjoy the shadow of my branches. The kingdom of God, in fact, is the kingdom of love. Regardless your position, don't say, I am not a monk, I am not a priest, I am not a bishop, I am not a teacher of Sunday school, I have no activities, official activities, but I am the least and very little seed in the hands of God. This little seed will become a very huge tree. And it calls every bird to come and to have a nest within its branches. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the lover of mankind. Saint Paul said, while we were enemies, he reconciled us with the Father This is the message of the Lord. While I was an enemy, he didn't rebuke me. He didn't enter in arguments with me. He didn't give me orders. He said, I love you. I reconcile you with the Father. I open the gates of heaven to you. I want you to be an angel. I want you to accompany all my heavenly hosts. All heaven are involved in you. Do you share the Lord Jesus Christ, his characteristic? He is the lover of mankind. Do you have the same heart? Do you love even those who persecute the church? When you hear about somebody persecuted some Christians in Egypt or in any other country, what about your feelings concerning those persecutors? Do you want to have revenge, or you love them and you weep for them and you ask God to illuminate their hearts, their inner man, so that they may truly be in contact with the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ? The passport by which you can pass from this world and to be in the bosom of the Father is the passport of love. Without love, you can't be in communication with God, because according to the words of Saint John, God is love. God is love. Do you have the same love? Do you share the Lord, his own love? Do you love your family, your neighbors? Do you love the Christians, the non-Christians, the Americans, the Egyptians, the Africans, the from all over the nation, all over the world? Or your heart is limited? Kingdom of God doesn't know limitation. When you are in unity with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will share him this love. And you truly feel it is your pleasure to have a chance to love those who persecute you or insult you or even had some plans against you. Christianity, in fact, is the change of men into angels. Perhaps you say, oh, it's somewhere you can't say it here in the church, but outside it is too hard to practice. We are in need to practice it, and then we discover the power of the love in our life. Once Saint John Chrysostom was asked, how can we love others? He said to them, you can learn love by what? By love. When any person asks you, how can I swim? You say, oh, you have to jump in the water. But you can't read some books about swimming or some studies about swimming and then say, oh, I can swim. Do you have the experience of swimming? You say, no, but I read many volumes concerning swimming. I said, you can't swim. The same thing, do you want to love? It is not just to hear some sermons or to read some books. It is a need to love and to, at first, to make a kind of pressure on yourself and ask the grace of God to work in you. And then the grace of God will guide you into the royal way to attain and to enjoy the way of love. I know time is very short, just I want to give a comment about the last speech concerning the kingdom of God in verse 52. When he said to them, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. He looks like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. What does it mean? Sometimes we despise the past. Oh, the parents or the last generation is old-fashioned. You have to remember that the new generation will say about you, you are old-fashioned. The same. This is justice. What we say about our fathers, our children will say about us. Christianity, in fact, is to discover the unity of all mankind from Adam and Eve till the end. We are one community in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love all the prophets of the Old Testament and the patriarchs like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah, and Rebecca, and so on. I love all the disciples. I love all the believers who departed. I am also concerned on the future of the church. The past for me is present. The future for me is present. I feel in the Lord Jesus Christ, I see the whole church, what we can call the old and the new. Not only concerning the generations, but also concerning each other. Everyone has his own gift or her gift. We can't say that all of us must be in the same model or to be like each other. Imagine there is a person and he has no eyes or no ears or no hands. All of him is mouth. He has many mouths in his body. What about his shape? Imagine a person full of eyes without all other members. How can he live? Sometimes we want all of us to be typical for a person. No. It means we are not a church. The beauty of the church that everyone differs than the other, and there is a kind of integrity. I feel happy that the other priest is not looks like me, because we can complete each other. But if all the priests are typical like each other, it is not a church. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to see how he spoke about the gifts, the spiritual gifts, and the variety of these gifts. May our Lord Jesus Christ grant all of us to attain and to have the practice of the heavenly kingdom within us. Glory be to God. Amen.